Producer Dave here. I had a, we'll call it a debate with someone from a Facebook group. And, well, he ran the Gish Gallop and kept repeating himself and kept talking over me. And then he muted me because I said a swear word. So this is pretty interesting. I hope you guys enjoy it. And I hope you check out the other shows on our podcast network, echoplexmedia.com. All right, I'm pretty much ready when you're ready. I think this should be fun. Let's just do our best not to talk over each other so that the people listening don't have to hear two people talking at once.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like something that's kind of informal, laid back, easy discussion, just back and forth a little bit. This should be an interesting discussion too. I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of people are surprised that there is so much evidence out there.
Well, before we get into that, why don't we make the thing live and let's go? Because that sounds like you're okay. sounds like you're a hot to trot. So,
okay, give me just a moment here, getting a few things done. This will just take a minute.
No rush. I was running a little late, so no big deal.
Okay, if you're ready, I'm ready.
Yep, I'm ready.
Hello, everybody. This is Wolf Bitten, and we've got a little bit of a debate today. We're just going to have a short debate, and I have with me today Dave. And Dave, could you introduce yourself, please, and tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure. This is I'm producer Dave. I'm the producer and engineer of the Echoplex Media podcasts. Our show, The Plex, is every Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific, but we're taking today off because everybody's a little tired, and doing a podcast every weekend working full-time is a bit of a chore. So that's it. I live in the Bay Area, and I thought it would be interesting to take this guy up on his debate. So, and I am a non-believer. I don't believe in God. I don't think I ever have.
Okay, Dave, do you mind clarifying? Are you like do you have any sort of religion, or atheist, or agnostic, or where do you stand on the issue?
Oh, I mean, I'm an atheist, but anybody's an agnostic because it's you can't know, but I don't believe.
Okay. And what we're going to discuss today a little bit is some of the evidences for God. And I love science. I'm a science buff. And it doesn't really matter what type of science it is. I'm generally into it, from chemistry to cosmology to paleontology. I love studying fossils and that sort of things. I've done a lot of fossil hunting in my life. So to me, science is a very interesting pursuit. And I don't know what your experience has been, Dave, when it comes to some of the differences that can exist between actual scientific finding, for instance, what you'll read in peer-reviewed articles, and then the spin that we sometimes get in the textbooks. Have you noticed any differences there yourself?
I mean, the textbooks, it's almost like it's too broad, right? Because there are, like with any other book, there are textbooks that are good and there are textbooks that are bad, right? Like, it's not like just because something is an educational textbook means that it's going to be accurate. Sometimes the information's outdated. Sometimes you just bought a bad textbook from some company that doesn't know what they're doing. You know, there's, so I'm not sure that the science textbooks, it's almost too broad. Can you maybe give me an example or something like a difference that you've seen, so that maybe I can respond a little bit better, because I feel like that's just a huge thing to cover.
Yeah, well, actually, it's in this would be regarding several disciplines. For instance, our cosmological model. Most people aren't aware, for instance, that our current model of the universe, the most popular current model of the universe, I should say, consists of more than just the Big Bang. It's not just the Big Bang, and yet that's pretty much how it's taught in the textbooks. our current model of the universe consists of the Big Bang combined with eternal inflation that was presented to us by Dr. Alan Guth in 1980. And then when that wasn't quite working out, he brought together a team of scientists, theoretical physicists. Michio Kaku was one man that has worked on this. And they put together, they kind of wrapped it all up with string theory, incorporating string theory and cosmic inflation, eternal inflation, and the Big Bang. And then that some of the predictions of that model were tested at CERN, and supersymmetry is what they were looking for, the creation of tiny little black holes and et cetera. And that experiment failed like three times. So then they started concentrating on the importance of dark matter, dark energy, and incorporating that into the particular model to try to make everything work out. But basically, these things are left out of the textbooks. Some of the other things would include like the differences between biogenesis and abiogenesis. And I think abiogenesis is a very important issue because abiogenesis deals with the creation of life, the origin of life. And it's never been observed in nature to occur. And it's never, well, never been recreated in a laboratory.
Okay, hold on. Can I? Okay, there's a little bit to cover there. First of all, I don't believe in God, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you talked about biogenesis and abiogenesis. It doesn't necessarily mean that I think I know how the universe got here or how life got here. Like, just, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't believe in the God of the Bible or any of the other gods I've heard of. That doesn't mean that I claim to know, yeah, how the universe got here or how life originated on Earth. I think those are two different questions, and I'm afraid if we put those questions together, it's we're not going to have a very productive discussion.
Well, I like to incorporate science into my discussions on God because I frankly believe that science itself points to God. Cosmology itself does, in fact, describe a force that would fit the description of the Christian God. Science describes a force that's necessary in the universe. We see the effects of this force, but they don't know what it is. But in its every known description, it describes an aspect that is attributed to the Christian God 3,500 years before modern cosmology, which I find extremely interesting.
I'm going to have to stop you there because I feel like what we've done right there is that's the God of the gaps, right? It's because, what I feel like you just said, I mean, you said it in a different way and you couched it in a lot of science or sciencey sounding words. You just said that there are things that we don't know in the, we'll say the scientific theories of how the universe got here, for lack of a better way to talk about it. And you say that they describe God from the Bible. And the thing about that is the God from the Bible is supposed to be omnipotent and omniscient. So it can do or know anything. So when you say that, you know, the missing parts of the, we'll call it the equation, fit the description of a God. Well, of course they do. The God is omnipotent and omniscient.
Well, it's not just that. I'll explain a little bit here. I explained the process that we've gone to get to our current model of the universe, how we went from Big Bang to adding eternal inflation, to adding string theory, to adding dark matter and dark energy. Now, dark matter and dark energy is the interesting point of this conversation. They don't know what it really is, but they do know that the force exerted that causes them to theorize about dark matter and dark energy does exist. What they are actually seeing.
The way I look at dark matter and dark energy is that these are forces that do probably exist in the universe, right? And we don't know what the mechanism by which they are is. So the terms dark matter and dark energy are almost placeholders for something we haven't discovered yet, is sort of the way I look at it.
And my thought is that when they describe dark matter and dark energy, they're unwittingly describing God. I'll explain.
Well, hold on. Again, if God is all powerful and can do anything, then they can describe God, right? Anything.
Well,
because God is all powerful and God can do anything. By the logic that I think you're putting forth here, I could claim that God makes my cell phone work.
Well, you see, there's forces that we understand with your cell phone. There's forces that we can actually manipulate ourselves.
Right, but isn't a God the cause of those forces?
Well, eventually. But what I'm saying is the actual physical description that we have of dark matter and dark energy based on our observation of the force that's exerted on the universe. For instance, dark matter and dark energy are said to be invisible. Now, the Christian belief is in a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, it's said, no man is seen at any time. He is invisible. He's a spirit. Those that worship him have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Father himself isn't seen. The only aspect of God that the world has ever viewed with their eyeballs would be the Son, and the Holy Spirit descending in the bodily form of a dove. But the Father, they've only heard, they've never seen. So just like dark matter and dark energy is said to be invisible, so is God. But dark matter and dark energy is also said to make up 96% of the universe. And the 4% left over is what we can see, the galaxies, stars, moons, suns, planets, etc. But there's another aspect of this where it says, they theorize that dark matter and dark energy actually flows through everything. Now, interesting thing about this, if dark matter and dark energy make up 96% of the universe that we cannot see, then not only is it invisible, like the Father, but it's omnipresent. And there's an interesting scripture that says that God is all and in all. So far, we have a perfect parallel between dark matter and dark energy and God.
There's a lot to unpack. First of all, I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm not a scientist, right? And I'm going to ask for the sake of my audience, are you a scientist?
No, okay. I'm not a scientist at all. But I can bring in a couple of things here that you might find really interesting here. Bear with me just a moment. Now, one thing, another thing that I find really interesting is that dark matter and dark energy is said to be the force that holds the universe together. Now, by that, what is meant is that, here's a little screenshot here. Dark matter and dark energy is said to be the glue that holds the universe together. And what they mean by this is that the galaxies and et cetera are spinning at such a fast rate, and they have a lighter molecular weight than would account for the fact that they are holding together and not just flinging out, you know, throughout the universe. With their molecular weight and the speed at which they're going, science has modern cosmologists, I should say, have determined that these galaxies should have flown apart long before now. But we view them in pretty tightly packed clusters. And so there has to be a force that is holding these galaxies together and keeping them from flying apart. Now, the interesting thing is Colossians 1:17 says that God is the force that holds all of creation together. Now, I find that extremely interesting. It's just another aspect. So there we have the glue that holds everything together, fitting the description of God, the invisibility fitting the description of God, the fact that it's omnipresent and in all and through all of these things fitting the physical description of God.
All right. Hold on. You've spoken for quite a while now. I have a couple responses. First of all, I feel like you're, I feel like you've repeated yourself a number of times, and here's what I mean. You're talking about dark matter and dark energy, right? I've heard scientists give talks on dark matter and dark energy, and when they give a talk, they're in a room full of other scientists, some of whom might be studying the theories behind dark matter and dark energy. So when they're up on the podium giving a talk, you're going to hear them hedging. You're going to hear them saying, well, you know, we don't know, but it looks like this, and our research shows this, and, you know, I feel like it might be a reasonable conclusion to say this. And when I listen to you talk about dark matter and dark energy, you sound to me like you are doing the opposite. You're trying to speak with authority on the matter, and I just find that to be a little bit interesting.
Well, no, I'm not actually speaking as an authority at all. Like I said, they don't know what dark matter and dark energy is. I readily concede that point. But they do know that the forces they see exerted on the universe that they can't explain, that they can't see a physical cause for, are real.
Oh, there are plenty of things that, like, for example, if you didn't know what air was, right, and maybe you were in a glass box where you couldn't hear anything and the tree was swaying because of the wind, but you were, like, isolated in a chamber where you couldn't be aware of the wind, you wouldn't know the cause, but you would know that there was some, you know, force acting upon a tree to make it sway, you know. And I feel like if somebody was in that box, right, and they decided that was the work of the creator, then that's fine, but it's just the wind. So what I'm saying is, when we don't know the cause of something, you know, saying that it's reasonable to believe that a God did it, I mean, that's never been the answer to anything that we didn't know the cause of.
Well, all I'm saying is that the physical description of the forces that they see exerted on the universe, every single one, and it's every aspect, it's every minute aspect, fits the physical description of God that we get from Genesis 3,500 years before modern cosmology. I just find that extremely interesting that they say that these are the forces we see exerted on the universe, and we don't know where it comes from. And yet these are the very forces that the Bible says God exerted on the universe. But there's actually more. That's by far not the end of it. We also have the fact that they believe the universe is still expanding. And they also believe that the universe is expanding at a faster rate the further out in the universe that we go. The interesting thing about this is the laws of entropy say that shouldn't be. If anything, it should be slowing down, especially after all this time. But it's not. They actually claim that it's expanding at a faster rate. And what I find interesting about this is the scripture itself says that God flung out the stars. And it says that God stretches the universe. So there again, the physical description of dark matter and dark energy as being the glue that holds the universe together. And yet we observe the same force. We observe the same force actually expanding the universe, causing it to expand. And the fact that it's invisible, the fact that it's everywhere, the fact that it's in all and through all, these are just magnificent descriptions of God the Father.
I'm going to, again, like I just feel like on all of this, like when I've listened to scientists talk about things like dark matter and whether or not the universe is expanding and how quickly they spend a lot more time hedging than you do. You seem, first of all, I don't even know if all the things you're saying are true. I'm not going to sit here and type on my keyboard and do research during this.
Well, what I'm showing right here is an actual peer-reviewed article. Is Hubble's expansion due to dark energy?
You're showing a screenshot of the first paragraph of it, which is generally more for marketing terms than it is. See, like, this is not a scientific paper. This is like the foreword on a scientific paper that have up on the screen.
Anybody can feel free to Google all this stuff. It's mainstream cosmology. And they'll find that absolutely everything that I've said is held up by mainstream cosmology.
You understand that inside of mainstream cosmology, the things that you're talking about, there is vigorous debate within.
There's not debate regarding these effects. There's only a little bit of debate as to what is causing these effects. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that, God is dark matter, dark energy. I'm saying that they are describing the effects attributed to God through the Bible 3,500 years before anybody would have known about these effects, which I find interesting. And the fact that they can't come up with a valid explanation for these effects. And so they have to describe the invisible force called dark matter, dark energy that is everywhere.
All right. Hold on. Are you done? Are we done with the argument from ignorance? Because that's what the whole first part of this debate has been. Hold on. You have given me very little time to talk, and so I'm going to talk now. What you've done is it's just the textbook argument from ignorance. You say we have this force that we don't necessarily understand. Dark energy. We'll just stick to that one, and then you're positing an all-powerful being that can do and accomplish anything. And you're saying that this all-powerful being, because it can do and accomplish anything, is causing dark energy because we don't understand dark energy. This is not interesting. Like, this is the argument from ignorance, and it's a formal logical fallacy.
I don't care if you disagree.
Before your next debate, I would suggest an argument.
Let me correct you just one moment.
No, you don't. Hold on. First of all, you've spoken for a lot more time than I have, and if you're just going to continue, I don't want to discuss the argument from ignorance anymore. Can we move on?
We're not. You see, it would be an argument from ignorance if we didn't observe these effects.
No. Hold on. Stop. You're doing the exact same thing again. I'm not doing this with you. You're telling me about the effect. You've spoken for a very long time, sir. I'm trying to explain something to you, and you keep interrupting me. Interrupt me again, and this interview is over. Do you understand?
Well, that's fine. You can leave if you like.
No, you've interrupted me and you've spoken. You're interrupting. You have to let me talk. You're not engaging in a debate. I'm going to talk right now because you've continued to interrupt me.
Okay, let's just clear up one thing.
I am going to talk now, sir. Do you understand?
Do you agree that these observations are actual?
Shut the fuck up and let me talk.
Dude,
shut the fuck up and let me talk or end the interview.
I know you're about to get muted now.
Let me talk or end the debate.
So
let me speak or end the debate.
Just a moment.
Let me speak.
This is a family show. We will not use language like that again on this show. Okay. Children listen to this, and they should be able to hear a better debate coming from a grown man.
You let me talk or end the debate.
The effects are observed. These are effects. This does not come from ignorance. It would be an argument from ignorance if these effects were not observed. So I'm going to unmute you now, and we will not use that sort of language anymore. And you can go on. I will allow you to finish. It's not a problem. But we have to be honest. If the effects are observed, it's not an argument from ignorance. If I'm saying these effects are attributes that are given to the God of Abraham in the Old Testament, 3,500 years before they knew these effects existed. Okay, I will allow, you can go right on now.
Can you hear me? You haven't unmuted me. Okay, so check this out. You just keep repeating yourself and you have not let me speak. I will tell you one more time that if this continues, this debate's over. You've repeated yourself 1,000 times and you've tried to correct me like I'm a child. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know shit about science, and I'll swear all I want because I don't care if you end the debate.
Well, you will not swear all you like.
Well, then, okay. then
do you have a comeback?
I don't have to have a comeback. You're making the argument from ignorance.
Okay.
You're talking
if you don't
over
have
me.
A comeback, you don't, we'll
no, no.
To,
you're making
you
the argument. Excuse
argument
me. You're making the argument from ignorance. You're not letting me talk, and you're repeating yourself.
Well, do you have a rebuttal?
Yes, you're making the argument from ignorance. You can't just, oh, you can, you just did. Hold on, is it okay? Are you gonna interrupt me again?
Well, I just explained how this is not an argument from ignorance.
Well, then.
So that's your only rebuttal?
You are doing, yes, that's the, because that's the only rebuttal I need. And you keep repeating yourself. You're like, we don't know.
That's your rebuttal.
Holy shit, you keep interrupting me. Fuck you.
Okay.
And fuck your debate. You're a fucking moron.
There you go.